Well, good morning all. Let's just have a moment of quiet before we begin. I hope you've got your order of service in front of you. And as I've already explained to the Zoomers, some of you may have the wrong Bible reading,
Oh, yeah.
Old Testament reading. It should be Isaiah 61, not Isaiah 64.
Yeah, sorry about that. That's my fault. It's an age-related vision incident. I mistook a one for a four. Sorry.
So let's begin. O Lord, open our lips.
And our mouth shall proclaim your praise,
Reveal among us the light of your presence.
that we may behold your power and glory.
Blessed are you, sovereign God of all. To you be praise and glory forever. In your tender compassion, the dawn from on high is breaking upon us. To dispel the lingering shadows of night. As we look for your coming among us this day, open our eyes to behold your presence and strengthen our hands to do your will, that the world may rejoice and give you praise. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed
Blessed
be
be
God
God forever.
forever.
A song of the King's glory. Lift up your heads, O gates, be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord who is mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory.
Glory
Glory
to
to
the
the
Father,
Father, and
and to
to the
the
Son,
Son,
and
and
to
to
the
the
Holy
Holy
Spirit,
Spirit,
as
as
it
it was
was in
in
the
the
beginning,
beginning,
is
is
now,
now,
and
and
shall
shall be
be forever.
forever.
Amen.
Amen.
And so we turn to our act of confession, saying sorry to God for those things that we have said or thought or done that have spoilt his image in us. Come, let us return to the Lord and say,
Lord
Lord our
our
God,
God,
in
in
our
our sin
sin
we
we
have
have
avoided
avoided
your
your
call.
call.
Our
Our
love
love
for
for
you
you
is
is
like
like
a
a
morning
morning
cloud,
cloud,
like
like
the
the
dew
dew
that
that
goes
goes
away
away
early.
early.
Have
Have mercy
mercy
on
on
us,
us,
deliver
deliver
us
us
from
from
judgment,
judgment,
bind
bind
up
up
our
our wounds
wounds and
and
revive
revive us,
us.
in
In
Jesus
Jesus
Christ
Christ our
our Lord.
Lord. Amen.
Amen.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Is that the right one?
No. Sorry.
We're going to turn to Isaiah chapter 61 now for our first reading, verses 1 to 4 and 8 to 11 from Isaiah 61. If you've got Isaiah 64 in front of you, you can disregard it and can simply listen. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and iniquity. In my faithfulness, I will reward them. and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the young plant come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make the righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And we turn to our psalm, Psalm 126, and we say the refrain together.
The Lord has indeed done great things for us.
When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, then were we like those who dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with songs of joy. Then said they among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has indeed done great things for us, and therefore we rejoiced.
The Lord has indeed done great things for us.
Restore again our fortunes, O Lord, as the river beds of the desert. Those who sow in tears shall reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed, will come back with shouts of joy, bearing their sheaves with them.
The Lord has indeed done great things for us.
Lord, as you send rain and flowers, even to the wilderness, renew us by your Holy Spirit. Help us to sow good seed in time of adversity, and to live to rejoice in your good harvest of all creation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
And our second reading comes from St. John's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing, if you are neither the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Preaching can be a difficult and a dangerous thing, especially if the message is not what people really want to hear. Preaching from the Old Testament reading from Isaiah is especially so, or that's what Jesus experienced. Do you remember the scene? Jesus' ministry had only just begun, but he was already acquiring something of a reputation as an itinerant teacher and healer. He was already causing a bit of a stir. And then he goes back to home to Nazareth. You can imagine it. Local boy makes good. Carpenter's son making a bit of a name for himself. And then, on the Sabbath, he goes to the synagogue. I don't know if Mary was there, watching from the women's gallery, but if she was, I can imagine how she must have felt as Jesus was handed the scroll, unraveled it, and read from the chosen passage. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. That's my boy. And then Jesus added a few words. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And everyone is amazed. But then it all goes badly wrong. And Jesus starts to say things the people don't want to hear. Jesus has delivered his manifesto. He compares the people from his hometown of Nazareth to the hard-hearted people from the time of Elijah and Elisha, and they don't like it. They are insulted. They are angry at the implication that God's favor is withdrawn from hard-hearted people. They welcomed Jesus into the synagogue, and then they drive him away. It never occurs to them to ask if what Jesus has said about them is actually true. But Isaiah 61 is a beautiful, beautiful message of good news, of healing, favor, and comfort, leading to a restoration of previously ruined things. It's a message of good news to a broken and hurting people. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. We will get there eventually. Don't give up. Keep on going. Rejoice. The people to whom Isaiah was writing were still recovering from the conquest. The temple had still not been restored, and they were suffering and longing and wondering. Into this turmoil of confusion and uncertainty, the prophet speaks words of light and hope. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news. Good news! At last! I imagine those words of hope were like a flickering light at the end of a long, dark tunnel. It's a wonderful moment when you suddenly sense light, however small, shining in the darkness. Sometimes even knowing that there is an end to the tunnel, that there is light, brings comfort and relief amidst the pain and anxiety of the darkness. The good news the prophet was bringing was astounding. Good news to the oppressed, binding up for the brokenhearted, liberty and freedom for the captives, release of prisoners, justice, healing and freedom were coming. The pain and suffering would not last forever. This truly is good news. When good news was most needed, those who were sad and mourning would be provided for. Their ashes, a sign of their mourning, would be replaced by wonderful things, as if they were going to a wedding. Instead of mourning, they would receive the oil of gladness. Instead of a spirit of despair, they would be clothed in a garment of praise. The good news was that joy was possible even when things were difficult. Good news is coming. Help is on the way. There is a light shining in the darkness. I was reminded of a scene from a favourite book, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe.
This must be a simply enormous wardrobe, thought Lucy, going still further in and pushing the soft folds of the coats aside to make room for her. Then she noticed that there was something crunching under her feet. I wonder, is that more mothballs, she thought, stooping down to feel it with her hand. But instead of feeling the hard, smooth wood of the floor of the wardrobe, she felt something soft and powdery and extremely cold. This is very queer, she said, and went on a step or two further. Next moment, she found that what she was rubbing against her face and hands was no longer soft fur, but something hard and rough and even prickly. Why, it's just like the branches of trees, exclaimed Lucy. And then she saw there was a light ahead of her, not a few inches away where the back of the wardrobe ought to have been, but a long way off. Something cold and soft was falling on her. A moment later, she found that she was standing in the middle of a wood at night time, with snow under her feet and snowflakes falling through the air. Lucy felt a little frightened, but she felt very inquisitive and excited as well. She looked back over her shoulder, and there, between the dark tree trunks, she could still see the open doorway of the wardrobe, and even catch a glimpse of the empty room from which she had set out. She had, of course, left the door open, for she knew that it is a very silly thing to shut oneself into a wardrobe. It seemed to be still daylight there. I can always get back if anything goes wrong, thought Lucy. She began to walk forward, crunch, crunch, over the snow and through the wood toward the other light. In about 10 minutes, she reached it and found it was a lamp post. As she stood looking at it, wondering why there was a lamp post in the middle of a wood and wondering what to do next, she heard a pitter-patter of feet coming toward her.
There, at the intersection of Lucy's world and Narnia, was a lamp post to light the way. It stood there, even though it was out of place, as a ray of hope into the darkness, and it marked Lucy's way forward and her way home. The lamp post for Lucy was a visible sign, shining its light as a guide, as a marker, as hope. Sometimes that light is close and shines brightly. Other times we can hardly make it out. Sometimes we journey alone. More often we need one another on this difficult journey of life. The light that shines in the darkness is the light of hope. And it's not the light of a lamppost, but the light of Jesus Christ that lights the way. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. Sometimes joy is easily found, and other times, if we're honest, joy is a struggle. Maybe even something that seems impossible. I love the image in verse 11 of chapter 61. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. Even in difficult times, especially in difficult and bleak times, even when life and joy and happiness seem impossible, the Bible says that God has planted righteousness and praise in our lives. May God cause the joy and hope and the fullness of resurrection life to well up in our hearts and grow like mighty oaks that display the glory of God. As we wait in the darkness, as we experience the difficulty of waiting, especially this year, May we find the light of Jesus shining brightly enough for us to see by. As we wait by the empty manger, looking forward to welcoming Jesus, may we be assured that God will not leave us or forsake us. Even so, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. His cornerstone, the solid ground, firm through the faces, drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ, my soul. Christ alone, into the flesh, fullness of God in endless fame, this gift of love, righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross, as Jesus died, for all of God was satisfied. For every sin, was laid here in the blood of Christ. I live.
Television for some reason.
Watchfully at all times, let us pray for strength to stand with confidence before our Maker and our Redeemer, that God may bring in his kingdom with justice and mercy. Let us pray to the Lord. Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, that God may establish among the nations his scepter of righteousness. Let us pray to the Lord. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. That we may seek Christ in the scriptures and recognize him in the breaking of the bread, let us pray to the Lord. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. That God may bind up the brokenhearted, restore the sick, and raise up all who have fallen. And we pray especially for Pam, Jack, Trish, Jen, Catherine, Derek, Brian, Lorraine, Richard, David, Peter, Christine, Ben, Jennifer, Jean, Rosemary, Nigel, Mavis, and others known to us. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, that the light of God's coming may dawn on all who live in darkness and the shadow of death. We give thanks especially for the lives of Caroline Dudley Williams, Joe Hill, David Froome, Ray Collins, Gaynor Grimston, Sybil Wren, Anthony Bush, Doris Hill, and others recently departed this life, and all those whom we remember with love and thanksgiving. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, that with all the saints in light, we may shine forth as lights for the world. Let us pray to the Lord. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. And the collect for today. O Lord Jesus Christ, who at your first coming sent your messenger to prepare your way before you. Grant that the ministers and stewards of your mysteries may likewise so prepare and make ready your way by turning the hearts of the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, that at your second coming to judge the world, we may be found an acceptable people in your sight. For you are alive and reign with the Father in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Awaiting his coming in glory, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon us. Scatter the darkness from before our path, and make us ready to meet him when he comes in glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us, and those we love and pray for, now and always.
Amen. Amen.
Well, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Just a reminder about some events that are taking place. At 10:30, the coffee morning will take place on Zoom. The numbers you should have at the bottom of the service sheet. Also, everybody from all our churches is welcome to join us to carol sing outside at Crewsme Orchard Church in the churchyard at 6 o'clock. Please bring a torch, and there's no need to book, just turn up, the more the merrier. Obviously, if it's chucking it down, we probably won't be doing it, but we've got brollies.
Oh, we're tough. Yeah. We're deafened.
As you can tell, if you're on Zoom, the online Christmas celebration is available, and I know has been watched by quite a few people already, very enthusiastically from all around the world, apparently. Some people have been requesting just the soundtrack, so the complete Christmas music, and Stephen is happy to make that available in some way. If you would like that, then please could you either let Dawn Williams or me know, and we'll try and either put it on the website or get it to you. But that's very exciting. On Christmas Day, if you're planning on joining us on Zoom or on the conference call, we would like to do something a little bit different. And we haven't done it yet, but we will by Wednesday have prepared some Christmas bags with little things in for everybody to use during that service. It's a bit of an undertaking as to how we're going to get them to you. But if you can make your way to the rectory here, you'll find outside the door from Wednesday onwards, there's a nativity scene, which is the end of the Exvalley Christmas Trail, which I hope some of you will do this before and after Christmas. So we've got the Holy Family in a manger, and in there will be the contents of these little Christmas bags that we would like you to use for the Christmas morning service. If you can't get to Whitley, you might like to offer to get one for someone else, or just let us know and we will try and get them to you. We haven't made them yet, so don't come this afternoon. And we've got a Zoom conference call carol service on the 23rd of December, in which we can sing as loudly as we like because we'll all be muted. So we hope that you'll join us for that. Anything to add to that, Robert?
No, not really. I think that's probably enough, actually. I think that's enough notices because, life is short and time is precious. So, it's lovely to see everybody, lovely to hear everybody on the phone this morning.
And you're all marvellous. They are marvellous.
God bless you all this week, and see you soon. I'm off to Cruise Orchard, and you're going to St Peter's.
Yes, bye-bye. I'm off now. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Lovely.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Lovely to hear you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. It's been lovely to have you with us this morning. Well done, everybody. Thank you very much. Bye for now.
Bye.
See some of you very soon. There we are.
Bye.